it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where every week we try to help you understand how complex we are as human beings. And I have as a returning guest today, Eli Love. And so we're going to be talking about ways that you have within your power to control your life and to control your health as well. Before we get started, I do remind everybody that all of the shows are archived on synergyconnectionradio.com. So there's over 400 shows now, and people can go and binge, watch, and listen if they choose to do so. But I've had some truly amazing guests over all of these years, and I hope you check out the synopsis of each show, and let's just see if maybe one or two or three of them don't resonate with where you are right now, and maybe that particular person will assist you in overcoming whatever challenge you're dealing with, whether it be health or whether it be an emotional issue or a spiritual matter, or maybe just learning again, you know, reconnecting to your learning ability, because they all work synergistically, in my mind at least. And when you keep them in balance, you live a much healthier life. I've worked with way too many people that have one or two of them really developed, and then the other two are kind of floundering. And so because we are an embodiment of this, you know, complex nature of the emotional, physical, spiritual, and intellectual, it really is important to try and keep them as much in balance as we can. And that way we can truly live our best life. So welcome back to the show, Eli.
Thank you, Lucy.
We're going to be talking again about ways to heal your life. And you've been working on this concept for a very long time, I believe, and have discovered some major principles. But I would think you wanted to look specifically at stress today and how stress impacts all of us, because you can't turn on the news anymore or look at any kind of periodical or check your phone for what's going on nationally or internationally and not have just a boatload of stress and, you know, pick and choose which ones you want to get the most stressed out of. Lately, I've been watching all the kids demonstrating at the different colleges, you know, for the Palestinians. And, you know, it reminds me back in the day when Vietnam, you know, and we were all protesting what was going on in Vietnam. And, you know, now we have this, and there's something every place that you look. The Haitians are dealing with things and, you know, people coming across the border. And so it goes on and on and on. So what have you discovered, you know, with the people that you're working with as far as how they manage or don't manage their stress?
Thank you, Lucy. Yeah, in this day and age, it's really important to get a grasp on the work that we're doing here. Because it just comes from self. God didn't put us on this planet without a plan to get through this life. And we have the tools already inside of us. And so that's what I just want to make real clear. When we're born up to about the age of five, we're born with the ability to resolve issues and de-stress ourselves. We know how to do that. And when you see a baby jumping for joy, running around the room screaming in joy, or if you see a baby or toddler throwing down and having a fit, they are de-stressing. They're de-stressing their positive side and they're de-stressing their negative side. And we have forgotten about that. When they're finished, Lucy, they are at peace. They are centered again and they can focus again on what they're supposed to focus on, whatever that may be. We have forgotten how tricky our subconscious mind is, because we're conditioned from a very young age to stop that process. And the minute we stop that process, we hold that stress in. And now we give that job of de-stressing, we give that job to our subconscious. And it's very tricky about how it wants to get that out. it knows it can't get it out directly because our parents or whoever is out there has made it unsafe to get it out there in some way. And how many times, Lucy, have you heard the story of, I put up with such a situation for so many years, and I finally got saturated with it, and I finally had the courage to change my life around, and now I'm a different person.
All the time.
All the time. That's what happens when you retain stress. Your subconscious is going to find a way to keep gently pushing you into the point of breaking down, the point of explosion, the point of rock bottom. Your subconscious knows how to do that. So you finally get to the breaking point of the original trauma or traumas. And that's how our body works. It's natural. We have traumas every day, and we should be having fits every day. But we're stopped doing that as children. And as we grow, we think it's normal to hold all of that stress in. It is not normal. I want you to think about the people that are listening out there. Think about how crazy it would be if I asked you to stop brushing your teeth. Yeah, you don't need to brush your teeth anymore. Just stop doing that. And imagine what would happen in a few days, in a week, in a month, in a year, a whole lifetime of not brushing your teeth. We know what would happen. Your teeth would decay, you get gum disease, you got bad breath, horrible things would happen to your mouth, as did a short 100 years ago. A short, almost 100 years ago was when Colgate came out and started advertising toothpaste. And for the first time, we in Western culture started brushing our teeth. Before then, Lucy, we lived with all of this horrendous stuff in our mouth and thought it was normal. And that's what we're doing today by not de-stressing like a child would. We're living with this sickness on our physical body, in our emotional body, in our intellectual body, in our spiritual body, and I add our experiential body, because we create things that happen in our life experientially based on what's in our subconscious. And we are a mess, I promise you. And it's only when we get to a breaking point that we decide, man, I have to do something different. So when I offer this program to people, usually the younger the person is, the happier they are to jump into it, and the more readily they'll jump into it because they remember, oh yeah, I used to do this not too long ago. And the older we get, Lucy, the farther we are from remembering that, and the more resistance we'll have to trying this out.
Right.
But the older people who have the courage to try it out, in my experience, I have given this personally in my space. I've had hundreds of clients. 100% of them make breakthroughs. 100% of them find out deep, profound realizations of the action that they're taking now that is not healthy is tied to a previous event that they did not clear, they did not de-stress about. And when they de-stress that original event, the action that they're having now, let's say it's a weight problem, it disappears. And now, Lucy, they don't have to use willpower to get their weight in check. They naturally have the urge from the inside out to not eat bad, to not overeat or not do whatever they were doing wrong. It's a natural urge from inside to start eating healthier. That is such a different way of approaching a health or a diet as opposed to using willpower, because willpower actually just creates more stress. And then here's what happens when we do things with willpower. We might even succeed and lose a lot of weight doing that with willpower, but then your subconscious says, well, we still have an original trauma stuck in us, so we're going to figure out a different way to do it. So now it's going to give you the urge to start smoking. And so now you've got that on your plate. And I had a lady, she went through from weight to smoking to driving fast. And that's when she finally came to me, and she discovered anger was at the root of her issue. And all three of those issues healed themselves, and she had no desire to do any of those anymore. And she didn't have to use willpower anymore.
Well, when you say anger was at the root, I mean, did this go back to early childhood?
Yes, it did. It went back to early childhood. In her case, it went back to at a very young age. I'm thinking around 5 years old, her dad left the family and nothing was spoken about it. She couldn't get an answer from anybody. All she knew was her dad left and she was just angry about it. I'm not getting an answer to why this happened. And so she tried to get the anger out, but was not allowed to. So she stuffed it and then it created these dysfunctions.
Yeah, and a lot of times when people are stuffing, it's interesting that you use that word because when we stuff something, we make it bigger. And
That's all that can happen. It's the teapot building up steam
exactly.
to the point of blowing its top.
And in her case, it sounds like she started eating and got bigger because
Yes.
that was the way she was handling her stress was using comfort foods of some sort, whether it was sweets or carbs or whatever it might have been. And then, like you said, she went from there to smoking and from there to driving fast. She's lucky she didn't hurt herself or somebody else.
Well, that's the realization she came to. She goes, at this point, I'm going to hurt myself or somebody else. I need some help with this. And so that's when she found me. Here's another interesting thing, Lucy, is we can all have the same trauma. Let's say we all had the event that our parent left us at that early age. And if we don't deal with it then, we're going to deal with it later. And now let's say we all have an issue of driving fast. Well, one person is going to process that feeling of driving fast, and I'll explain how to process it in a minute. And their feeling of processing is, I'm angry. That's why I'm driving so fast. I'm just angry. Another person is going to have that same issue of driving fast and saying, well, I'm just driving fast because I don't care. I don't even care about myself anymore. And so it's a self-worth issue. Another person is going to be driving fast with the feeling of, yeah, all those people out there are in my way. And if they get hurt, too bad. The feeling of wanting to hurt somebody. Those are three different feelings, three different people tied to the same picture outside. So it's important not to generalize, oh, this is your problem because you have this issue. No, that person will discover on their own what feeling is attached to that. And then when they get into that feeling, what event was attached to that to create that feeling that needs to get cleared. And then that a symptom disappears.
Well, I'll tell you what, all you have to do is be here in Florida on some of our highways and you see those characters that don't care, get out of my way. I mean, they're driving 90 miles an hour and you know that they have no concern whatsoever for their life or anyone else's.
That's correct. Just about a month ago, I was on the freeway, and there was a car in front of me. A distance and this other car racing to get to it. They both got real close, pulled over off the off ramp. One of them stopped off the off ramp. The other one stopped his car on the off ramp and they both jumped out of their car and started fist fighting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's an example of how the depths you have to go to maybe or maybe not discover, maybe I have a problem here.
Maybe. Oh my goodness gracious. And then I here around me, and I'm sure this is true in other places as well. It's like two or three of them will be racing just for the sake of, driving over the speed limit. But racing each other, like you would on a racetrack.
Right. I used to drive like a maniac. I would drive fast and I would buzz by people really closely. And in my mind, my subconscious tricked me into me thinking I was a good driver. I'm such a good driver. I can drive like this and I'm still safe. And I'm not going to hurt anybody until I finally got so many tickets. It ended up being $400 a month. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I got to change my ways. But that's one way my subconscious tricked me into thinking that I was doing something good. That's what is so important about this work is you start discovering how your own subconscious is telling you things to get you in trouble, Lucy, because it's trying to get you in trouble so you'll finally get to a bottoming out, a rock bottom place, and finally deal with your issue that you haven't dealt with for so many years. And so the simple exercise that I give is, like the child, either speak nonstop or write nonstop until you're peaceful. And so many things are going to come up in one session. Could be 10 minutes, could be 20 minutes, 30. Between 30 and 60 is normal for the beginner. And let the conversation ramble, let it go wherever it wants to go. And you're going to start connecting the dots. And at some point, you're going to get an aha. Whoa, I didn't realize that. And when you get that aha, you're going to feel your body relax. Ah, you're done. You might get an emotion. Because you're writing or talking, you might get an emotion that comes up. And you might go, oh, this emotion's coming up. Well, just do the best to subside it, deal with it how you want to deal with it, and then you're done. You might get a physical sensation come up. If a physical sensation comes up, then talk about that physical sensation until it's gone, and then you're done. So those three shifts might happen. But in each case, you want to talk or write until you're finally done in one session. And that's the beginning of your journey. When you start unraveling what that conscious has for you, you're going to be amazed at the secrets you have kept from yourself. Give you an example. Lucy, how many times have you heard someone in a relationship break the relationship and later say, they're talking to you and they go, you know what? The issues that we had in my relationship, I actually remember thinking about them when we got together at first. But I said to myself, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I'll just think about other things and push those issues aside. They let it get pushed under the rug. And then later on, it became a big deal. You know what I'm talking about?
If you could change the person.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right.
People that. Right. Oh, we'll work it out. We'll figure out how to do it differently.
Right. At the beginning of the relationship, it's like you knew these issues were there, but you shoved them back here in your subconscious and didn't want to deal with them. You let yourself stay there until those issues became a big deal enough to break apart. And that's one way how the subconscious will get us into trouble for the express purpose of getting to a boiling point. That is actually our bodies working normally, Lucy. When our bodies work into a boiling point in life, that's our bodies working normally. It wants us to do that. So we'll finally stop and look at the issue and de-stress that issue. It wants that poison out of us. And when we do this work of writing or speaking, we're doing it by ourselves alone, not around other people to hurt them or create judgment for ourselves. That's the difference. And it's free. Oh my gosh, Lucy. In my own body, allergies have gone. Chronic acne has gone. Colon fissures disappeared. Emotional issues have disappeared. Anger has disappeared. Self-sabotage. Numerous eating disorders have disappeared. That's just off the top of my list. Many clients come to me for smoking. Many clients come for weight loss. Many clients come for relationship issues. And we've had marriages healed and marriages saved because of this work, because they realize it's not my partner's. He's not the problem. It's my problem. And now I know where it's coming from. And I've been using this energy on him as a projection. Boy, the stuff that we learn is phenomenal.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking, and, you know, because I'm a therapist as well as doing a podcast, but I'm just thinking of the number of individuals who have issues with either a mother or a father, and then marry somebody or get into a relationship with somebody. And it's to continue working out the issues that they had with mom or dad, and the marriage falls apart. Because they can't, you know, there isn't, that person is not guilty of anything, but they stayed in the relationship. They couldn't get out of the relationship with mom or dad, but they stayed in the relationship maybe that was unhealthy because they were still trying to work through those issues.
That's right. And to me, in my mind, that's why the marriage institution is set up till death do us part, because if you're stuck in that relationship, that means you have to work out your differences and not run away from them. But people don't know how, Lucy. Right. They don't know how to work that out. And right. So this is the fastest way. I'm talking 10 to 20 times faster you're going to heal doing it this way, as opposed to most of the other ways that we're doing it. Because the other ways that we're doing it usually have to do with head work, intellectual work. That is fine. Mm-hmm. And when I did this work, it was intellectual for almost a year, because that's where my brain was. Mm-hmm. It was only after about 9 to 10 months that I got permission to go into my emotional body, and about a year after that to go into my physical body. And now I'm using all three. Mm-hmm. When you're stuck in that relationship and you know how to move through it, that relationship becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. It's amazing.
No, I think that is definitely true. And it is interesting, again, how many times do you hear a person that's in a relationship make a comment like, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
And they're used to leaving. You know, if they can't be in control of something, then it's easier to just leave it. And yet nothing has been resolved or fixed, really.
Well, to be honest, that was me. I've only been married once, but I was single up till I was 57. And I had that exact same experience many times. I would have a relationship, it'd get difficult, and I would bail. Have another relationship, get difficult, and I would bail. And here's what I learned. The same exact issue followed me uh-huh. around, followed me. And I said to myself, I got to the point where I said, I'm going to make sure that this person is the type of person where that issue is not going to come up. But I would get tricked. A month or two later, that same issue would come up. And I go, how did that happen? That's how tricky your subconscious is. And what we learn, Lucy, by doing this work, is how we are actually communicating subconsciously with people, and we're not even aware of it here. So I'm attracted to someone who has that issue, whether I know it or not, whether I find out about it now or a few months later. I attract that into my life so I'm forced to deal with it. And when I finally realized that my subconscious is working to attract the stuff into my life, I went, wow, that's an eye opener. I need to work on this issue because the problem is with me, not with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's, and you only learn that by doing the work. You can get an intellectual conception of it now that I'm talking about it. But when you find out how it's happening in your own life, wow, that is what shifts you into not having to use willpower. You go, oh, now I get it. And you stop that behavior.
Right. One of the things that I've shared on other shows is that we have 40 million brain cells actually in our hearts. And wow. They're the same brain cells that are in our brains, but they also register in our hearts. So if we spend 95% of our time thinking about who said it, how are we going to resolve this, but we are intellectualizing, if we can learn to switch that process off and go to our heart and use intuition, because our heart always has the answer, especially when it comes to relationships, working with other people, those kind of things where, you know, emotions are involved, then you can use your intuition to help you resolve some of these issues. So when you're writing for 10, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, allow your heart to be engaged, not just the intellectual process of writing on paper, but going to your heart center and allowing that to become part of this empathetic, intuitive process.
That is exactly true, Lucy. And here's what is nice about doing this work. We were given this work from the get-go. It's a God-given innate process, and it knows how to heal us. Mm-hmm. So at first, you're gonna gravitate. You said at the beginning of this that some people are working with one or two bodies, but not all three or not all four. And what happens is when you start doing this work, you're so collected with so much stress and so much past trauma that your brain only wants to work with one body right now. And when I give this work to clients, most people are comfortable with their intellectual body. They can go there very easily. Many people are comfortable with their emotional body, so they go there first. Other people are comfortable with their physical body, so they go there first. And it's okay. Go to that body, whatever's comfortable to you. Then when you finally exhaust that body and you're not getting any shifts in it, you're not getting to that peaceful place, that's when your brain says, oh yeah, well, let's move to this other body. And it'll naturally move there. And eventually it'll get all three. And that now that spreads to your spiritual body and then starts affecting your experiential body.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, give it time. Let the cake bake on its own. It'll get there.
When you are working with somebody to do this, I'm guessing that you have them get, you know, like a notebook that they're writing everything down in and using that same notebook all the time. And maybe, you know, making sure they have a bottle of water, their pen, so they're not getting up and being distracted, that they can just stay with the process.
Well, to be honest, I've never done it that way. For some reason, all the clients that I've ever had, we talk, because I kind of set that as the norm. Yeah, let's talk about it. And in a safe room, I say, you talk, and I'm only here to monitor if you're really peaceful or not. 9 out of 10 will stop short. They say, okay, I'm done. I said everything I needed to say. And I said, well, that's not the exercise. Saying everything you needed to say is not the exercise. The exercise is to keep talking until you're peaceful. So if you have to repeat something 1,000 times, let it repeat itself 1,000 times until you finally get that insight or whatever it is to shift you into a peaceful place. That's the exercise. And now later on, if they want to write, that's a good thing. I was writing profusely. I've got volumes of things that I write. And it's very interesting to go back and
mm-hmm.
look at that. And just to remember, oh my gosh, I used to be in that space.
Yeah, exactly.
So for some people, that's very helpful. Do it whatever way you want to do it. But the idea is don't stop until you're peaceful. That's the main rule.
I'm just, again, kind of reflecting over the 40 years that I've been a therapist. I would say it would be about half and half. I think some people are uncomfortable with their own voice making remarks. And because it's like, I hear my dad or I hear my mom or I hear, you know, my priest or whoever it might be. And
yeah.
So it's safer for them to
yeah,
write.
absolutely.
And then
Yes.
for other people, you know, they might just kind of blabber on for an hour and it would be perfectly okay. So I do think they have to find their particular method that works for them.
That's absolutely correct. Yes. And so for me, I use writing when I'm in a public place and I can't
mm-hmm.
be verbal because that's too much judgment on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be writing. And just to give a tip to whoever is listening out there, if I'm writing the words, but my thoughts are running faster, I'll start writing the first letter of each word. And if that's not fast enough, I'll start scribbling, but I can hear the words going on in my head. And so,
okay.
Sometimes I'll get angry and I'll start dotting the paper like this. And I have to be careful, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna make sure I'm not looking like a crazy person. The other thing, Lucy, is when I finally realized I need to start talking, it was too weird for me to talk in a room. I tried it and I go, I feel like a crazy person. So I put a tape recorder in the room and I pressed record and I talked into the tape recorder. I go, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that once. And halfway through the second time, I already knew I don't need that tape recorder. This feels so good and it feels so efficient. I know I'm going to get a benefit whether that recorder's on. So halfway through that second session, I turned it off and I was off to the races.
Okay. All right. So people are going to find their comfort zone.
Correct. And whatever their comfort zone is correct for them at that time.
Right. And I don't think there is a right or wrong. In
No,
any
there is not.
You know, it's just whatever method is going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah. The only rule is don't stop
don't
until you're
stop.
Peaceful, because that's what the child is. A child will have a fit for 10 minutes or 3 hours. If you allow it to have it for 3 hours, it's finally going to be done. And I can't even describe to you what happens inside of those processes, inside of those fits. Boy, there's so much learning to be had, so much evolution to be had, and so much healing to be had in that one session. We have forgotten how valuable that is. But
mm-hmm.
you will remember if you start doing this work, and it'll start
well,
showing up in your life.
Yeah, and think about, you know, the little 2 or 3 year old that is having that little fit. A lot of times they go to sleep afterwards. You know, because it is just totally out of them at that point.
Yes. Let me explain to you how a child's day works. When a child is in their day and they have a problem, they're going to have a fit. They're going to right there in the moment have a fit. Well, they're playing throughout the day and they're doing this and doing that. And something might bother them, but they're having so much fun playing, they're going to put that aside and keep on playing if they're with their friends or something. Well, by the end of the day, Lucy, their brains are filled with so much stress. And so at the end of the day is when they start getting cranky and they start getting whiny. And as how many parents have said, oh, they're just tired. That's why they're whining. Put a bottle in his mouth and put it to sleep. And they have so many excuses why the child is cranky at the end of the day. In reality, they're trying to detox that day of stress. And if you just allow them to go and be cranky and cry until they fall asleep, they're going to wake up the next morning so much lighter and so much brighter than if you try to stuff them with something, a bottle or something. If you try to shut that down, they're going to wake up cranky the next day, and then it just gets worse from there.
Well, our show is all done for today. But
Okay.
I know that you've provided everyone listening with a lot of different thoughts as to maybe how they can de-stress and how they can get a lot of that anger or resentment or anxiety or whatever emotion it might be out of themselves that's being caused by stressful relationships, whether it's work, home, school, wherever it might be, and how to better take care of themselves. So, how can they get hold of you if they need to be in touch?
Very good question. Healforfree.com is my website. Heal number four free.com. Also, if you go on Amazon, there is a book, The Manual for Life. And that is a very inexpensive book with tons of exercises in it that'll get you going from day one. If you're interested, go there and check that out.
All right. Thank you so much for being back on the show. I look forward to seeing you in the not too distant future again, and have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, Lucy. Likewise.
All right. Everybody, please go out there and make this your best life. Remember that all the shows are archived at synergyconnectionradio.com. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.